Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
This isn't yelling. When I yell, you'll know it.
You know, we try to instill all the good things in them, have morals, and to be something.
Go pick up your booty or you're going to get a timeout, mister.
No!
That's it! Take Jake upstairs and give him some Ritalin.
Don't tell me my nagging's paid off.
What are you doing in my room? I locked the door. Get out!
I love you more than anything or anybody in the whole world.
One day they're babies, the next thing you know, they're off on their own.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. In just a moment, part one of Jim's conversation with Pastor Jeff Schulte and his wife Brenda. We're going to talk about being transparent with your kids, living that authentic Christian life. You know, the Bachelor of Science in Organizational Leadership program transforms working professionals like yours truly into agents of change in the workplace. That remains to be seen. This accelerated degree completion program is offered online and on campus with APU School of Adult and Professional Studies, and as one of the online students, it is a ton of fun. It's a lot of work, but it's a ton of fun. If you want to learn more about the Be Soul program, as we call it at the school, you can go to homeward.com if you're not there already. And now, here's part one of Dr. Jim Burns' conversation with Jeff and Brenda Schulte here on Homeward.
Jeff is a very dynamic person, and Brenda, his wife, is just as dynamic. They are parents of six incredible children, ages 2 to 13, and yet, as I had this conversation with them in Honolulu, Hawaii, of all places, they looked absolutely refreshed, and my goodness, with that age of kids and that many, but yet incredibly dynamo people. You'll see that in a moment.
Well, it might have had something to do with the fact that the kids were back in Tennessee and they were in Hawaii.
that's exactly true, but I would just imagine that in their home, these two dynamic parents have some pretty exciting things happening in their house as well.
Well, and as Jim mentioned, what we're about to hear is the first part of a conversation he recorded with Jeff and Brenda at a recent Christian education conference on this crucial topic of being open and honest and age-appropriate with our kids.
We're very fortunate to have Jeff and Brenda Schulte with us today. They are the real deal because not only do they have a fabulous ministry at a church in the Nashville area, but they work with Family Life as well as having six kids of their own. How do you guys manage with six kids age 13 to 2?
You know, I think that the real thing is, how do they manage?
With us as parents.
With us as parents. That's the real question.
Because I don't think we manage.
No, we don't. That would be my quick answer. We don't. We do our best, and then God has got to make up for the rest.
We're convinced that we can't do it all. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, as parents, we don't try to do it all.
Right.
And whether you have one or whether you have six, it's irrelevant. I mean, it's just once you get past three, it's all zone defense anyhow, you know. And so we just kept adding, but the issues are the same. We weren't enough for our kids when they were one, and we were overwhelmed when we had one. And just as overwhelmed with six, it hasn't been any different. But I think we just don't try to do it all, and we don't expect that we can be it all.
You know, it's a great concept. What do you mean when you say you don't try to do it all?
There's just no way I can win. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to try to do this in my own strength.
Yeah.
I've always said to myself that the reason we keep having more kids is because I'd have a tendency, if I only did have one, to be a very controlling person. Mm-hmm. And the more I have, the more out of control I am.
Right.
With my personality and my kids, that's a good thing for them. They're not being controlled by me.
Yeah. It's kind of a relinquishment issue. Mm-hmm. You have to relinquish your kids to the will of God, and that's hard for those of us who are control freaks.
You have to have an open hand. Yeah. I don't have the energy to hold them all so tightly in my hands. I have to just open it up, and if God doesn't do something, then...
Well, and I don't think it's not an issue of futility where you throw up your hands and go, well, we just can't do it, so it's not going to get done. I think there's an intentionality for us to that inadequacy, and that I don't think God ever intended any parent to be everything for that child. And I think the gaps that are presented to our kids, the needs they feel because there are gaps, because we're inadequate parents, because I lose my temper, because she is short, or because we're frustrated with our 2-year-old all the way to our 13-year-old, causes our kids to feel a need for a real father in heaven that is perfect, that is there, that never leaves them, that never disappoints them. And I think we're both look at each other and say, you know, I think by the grace of God, our kids will see some of who he is through us. But also by the grace of God, they'll have a need for him because of our weakness. And we don't try to be God to our kids. And that's where I think when Brenda gets to the control thing is you really do have to, I think, have a little bit of a lighter hand than we thought as new parents. You know, when you start out this thing, in fact, we laugh about our first one because she survived us. Because it's so, you know, with the first one, you really do think you're going to micromanage this thing and raise this great child, and you're going to be great parents. Right. You realize, one, you're not raising a robot. Number two, you're not great parents.
It's a great learning. You know, it's fascinating for us. When Kathy and I had our first child, Christy, we just panicked because we thought we knew everything and we'd read books and whatnot. And the day she, you know, came into our arms and we got into our condominium at the time, we just panicked. We said, we have no idea what to do. And I remember once she finally fell asleep, Kathy and I getting on our knees and saying, God, we are humbled and we need your help and we need it now.
Yeah. Well, and for Jeff and I, our oldest is 13. And so we're just entering into the adolescence. And we thought up to this point that parenting was difficult, but we have said it so many times this year that we are just having to learn how to parent.
Yeah.
This is tough. Yeah. Stuff.
It was physically demanding before now, but now I think it's becoming more emotionally demanding. Our kids are requiring something from us, the older ones, that we have never had to give. In fact, I find myself, the real tendency, Brenda's over there nodding and laughing, is I'm really gravitating toward our 2-year-old and our 4-year-old right now, because all they want from Dad is they want to wrestle and they want to be physical, and that's easy. That honestly, that now that used to cost me something. You know, your dad's tired, comes home from work, just want to go read the paper or something. These kids want to play. You know, we love them, but you're tired. I'll give anything right now for a wrestling match on the floor, because that's a whole lot different than sitting down trying to relate to a 13-year-old little girl who's not a little girl anymore. She's become a young woman.
That's your problem, honey. See, she's 13.
She's a young woman, and relate to her as a maturing, emerging adult.
Right.
And that's challenging us. And I think we're just, again, we're on the front end of it. And that's where we both look at each other and say, we have not parented. We have physically changed diapers and we have fed kids and we have been there for them, but we are just learning what it means to raise kids.
That's true. And yet you have nurtured them, and what they need is nurture.
Yes.
And at 13, they also need nurture. It's different kind of nurture.
It's just changing.
Sure. Right. It really is. And it's hard to know when is she my little girl and she's going to crawl up on my lap and, you know, snuggle while we watch TV. And when does she want nothing to have to do with me? When, you know, I go to say goodbye to her at school and kind of give her a little hug and try to kiss her on the cheek. And she does not want that at all. Mm-hmm.
Which I think goes back, even what you're saying, I agree with, because it goes back and I think it really presses back to those early years, realizing that you do have a season with your kids when they're young, where their gills are wide open, and they do take it all in. Mm-hmm. And honestly, you can't hardly do anything wrong with them in their eyes at that age. Right. And I think really for a parent, a mom or dad of younger kids, to grab those moments to plant as many seeds as they can, because that's what they end up working with when that son or daughter enters this adolescent period, I think.
Yeah. No, that is true. Let me ask you a question about marriage in this. A lot of marriages that I'm seeing are really child-focused marriages. And when you have 6 kids, you pretty much have to, you know, sure, deal with the kids. And you got 13 and 2-year-old and then in between. So, you know, you are dealing very much physical issues of dealing with the idea of, you know, being with your kids. But at the same time, we also know that a child-focused marriage isn't a healthy marriage. How do you find time to have intimacy in your marriage when you're, you know, trying to handle all these kids and just the physical side to raising children?
I think it's difficult, and we do need to be intentional. I think the one thing that we didn't even know we were doing well, but it seems that the proof looks like we're doing it well, is we have shared with our kids that we just need to be together. They do understand at home that we need to be, you know, have time alone. We haven't hid this from them, but I didn't mean that we hide our intimacy from them. But we're open with it as far as that they know that we need to be together.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been times when we have been alone or going to have a date night together in our room, and our little daughter, who's 9, will come up and she'll just sort of smirk at us and she'll say, "I know what you're going to do." And we'll say, "What? What are you talking about, Jessica?"
Because we just said, "Kids, it's time for you to go to bed, and Mom and Dad are going to have some alone time, and we're having a date, and we don't want you to bother us." And we tell them, and you know, they're old enough; they're kind of still going to bed themselves, but we're going to bed a little bit early ourselves. And So she stands there and just with this big grin on her face, you know, saying she knows what we're about, you know, and we just say, well, what do you mean by that?
And she says, well, and I remember her just saying, well, I think you guys are going to go in your room and just be close and hold each other close. And we sort of smiled at her. And then I just asked her, I said, well, how does that make you feel, Jessica? And she looked right at us and she just said, it makes me feel warm inside.
It really gives Jessica security.
It does. And it gives the older ones security. They just know that their mom and dad love each other, but it is hard work.
Well, and I'd say before we got down to the practical side of how do you do that, that's a challenge. Again, that's always a challenge. I think we had to first of all decide that we believed, and this is true for us, that the greatest gift we can give our kids is a picture of us being committed to one another. And right. to show them what it looks like for a mom and a dad who they see don't always get along, and they see having to learn how to forgive each other, and they see the highs and the lows of a marriage being worked out before their eyes. But what they know is that we're not going anywhere, that we are committed to each other, and that we do love each other.
And that is a very, very powerful testimony indeed. Today here on the Homeward Broadcast, you're listening to Pastor Jeff Schulte and his wife, Brenda, having a conversation with our host, parenting and family expert, Dr. Jim Burns. Our theme, being transparent with your kids. And as we continue, more of this conversation here on the Homeward Broadcast. I want to remind you that if you go to homeward.com, if you're not there already, there's lots of different resources available to you. Homeward's Good Advice Parent Newsletter, which is delivered electronically to your email box each and every month. That comes around just in a couple more weeks. We'll have another edition of the Good Advice Parent Newsletter available for you. It's got articles, links. It gets you connected with what you need to be the kind of parent that your kids are looking for. The great thing about the Good Advice Parent Newsletter is it's absolutely free. Go to homeward.com. Just give us a name and an email address, and we could send it to you each and every month. And then, of course, there's lots of opt-out functions, too. It's not like we're going to be hammering you for money every month when you do register for one of these resources that we make available. So for your Good Advice Parent Newsletter for free, go to homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Yeah, I just can't believe he said that, Jim.
Yeah, I'll believe it, Bill. I mean, I get this call from a friend I've known since college. He says he's calling me to tell me that we couldn't be friends anymore, that he'd become a Christian. He's trying to put his drinking days behind him.
I'm telling you, Jim, that's not what Christianity's all about.
Don't get me wrong, Bill. I have no problem with you. It's just I've known my share of Jesus freaks who didn't want to hang out because I like to party a little. And you know what? If that's what it means to be a Christian, no thanks.
Being a Christian doesn't mean giving up all your unbelieving friends. You can learn from them, even enjoy their company and be challenged by their questions. Who knows? Through your loving example, they just might become a Christian. Your kids will be impacted by the kind of example you set in the presence of your unbelieving friends. Just be sure those non-Christian friendships aren't taking you down a path that's against your biblical values. For a free copy of my tip sheet called What Is God Really Like? Go to homeward.com.
Kathy and I had read this book that you should always have a 15-second kiss. Somehow that was, you know, some people who had said, you know, that really works. So right around Christmas, we started doing the 15-second kiss. And so I'd come home from work, and I'd just give a longer kiss. Now, my kids would kind of go, ooh, gross, because they'd seen kind of like, hi, honey, how
but
are
they're
you?
They're loving it.
Right, they are.
They're loving it.
They're smiling and going, gross. And Kathy one time said, you know, are we offending them? And I said, oh, no. We're teaching them that there is a dad who absolutely loves his daughters but also loves his wife. And I always try to go to Kathy first. You know, I might give somebody a high five or whatever, but I kind of try to beeline toward Kathy. And that you're talking about proactive. And this really is proactive. I mean, it takes a lot of work to keep a marriage intimate.
Yeah.
You know, I think there are many people who think that marriage just kind of happens and it was wonderful when we were dating and courting and all of a sudden, you know, it's supposed to keep going. And really, you got to work at it like crazy is what I hear you saying.
Parenting is exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And exhaustion is the enemy of intimacy in any relationship. And so if we find that we have nothing for each other, I don't care how good of a marriage you have, over time, that affects a marriage. When you're tired, you're more critical. When you're tired, you're shorter tempered. When you're tired, even physical intimacy begins something that gets put on the back burner. You never thought it would. Look, when you were early married, even when you had that first child or two, you thought that'll never be something. We went through something last year where we just decided, we found ourselves so exhausted, and our intimacy was not what it had been. And we both talked about it, and we decided that there were, this sounds crazy, but we did this. There were certain nights of the week that we decided were going to be nights that we were going to be together regardless of what the day had been like, and that was the plan. And so it kind of became a joke with each with us, where I'd come home and
we'd be like, "Well, it's Wednesday."
It's Wednesday, you know. And then, and you would think that the lack of spontaneity would be, right. But it worked the other way around.
Yeah.
And so it was a little bit of a gut check, because we never thought we'd be there.
Right.
But we just had to pull back and say we need to be more deliberate, and to make some choices that, in some situations, it looks like it puts your children second, but that's exactly what it's doing. Which in the end put your children first, because they've got a marriage that's speaking volumes to them in the end. And this is the picture for me. In the end, it's showing them the picture of who God is and how he wants to relate to them.
Yeah, and if it's that important, then it means it's so important that we deal with our marriage partner and we work on it and we take the time. You used a phrase, exhaustion is the enemy of intimacy. And yet, I would say that most of the people who are listening are overcommitted, underconnected, and they're struggling like crazy. And yet, you know, they've got bills to pay, they've got soccer to go to, and they really are trying to be good parents. What kind of practical advice can you give us?
I would just say it needs to be such an intentional choice, or it will not happen. It just, in our family, there are just so many needs. And that's the exhaustion I'm talking about, is just feeling like, I have to meet everybody's needs. And so for me to think about my husband, oh, I have to meet his needs. If it is that thought process for me, it just won't happen. And it won't be enjoyable for me to be close or intimate with him. There has to be a shift in my mind that I really value the closeness and the intimacy and even the mystery of the union between a husband and a wife that way. Enough that I would, as Jeff had mentioned, choose to put him in front of the kids. But ultimately,
I'm putting the kids.
Right.
I'm giving them a gift by showing them that I honor and respect and want to be with their dad.
I've noticed that both of you have used the word gift in many contexts. Talk about the gifts you can give to your kids.
I would say, in my mind, when I think of gifts, it's how do I set them up to win in life?
Mm-hmm.
And I do not think that the answer is giving them everything they want, satisfying all their needs. I think that you give your kids gifts when they see a real person that struggles in friendships, a real person that struggles in their marriage, but works through things. I think one of the best gifts I can give my kids is going to them and admitting when I'm wrong. But if I'm with those kids all day long, for me to think that I don't wrong them and hurt their feelings and step on their toes and be insensitive is just crazy. I do, and often. And I need to be someone that says I was wrong.
Recently an incident happened in our home where my son blew it big time. And he said, "Oh, Dad, I've been such a fool." And I said, "No, son." I was holding him when I told him this, just hugging him there in the hallway. I said, "Son, the fool is the one that thinks he can't come home. The fool is the one that thinks that God can't pick him up and give him a second chance." And I said, "You're not a fool." I said, "You did a foolish thing, but you're not a fool, because you came home in your heart." And I think when he becomes a man and he finds himself down, he's going to think, "Where did my dad go? My dad turned to Christ. My dad got on his knees. My dad knew he needed God. And that's where I saw my dad turn." And what a gift for a man. You know, we all think we all have to have it together. And then when we all grow up, or we think our dad had it all together, and then we grow up and realize that he didn't, we're disappointed. And then we realize that we don't have it all together, then we feel like a failure, and we don't know what to do.
I just think a gift that you give your kids is when you're real with them and show them that life is a process, and I'm going to be in this process till the very end.
Mm. That's so important for kids to see in the lives of their mom and dad in a marriage relationship. And we talk a lot about marriage here on the Homeward Broadcast and how it relates to parenting. And today on the program, being transparent with your kids has been our theme. And our thanks again to Pastor Jeff Schulte and his wife Brenda for being part of this broadcast. We'll hear part two of this conversation on the next edition of the program. Reminder that when you go to homeward.com, a variety of different resources for you to take advantage of. You can check the articles and media section, check out a variety of different articles and tip sheets on parenting, marriage, and they're all free. You can read them, print them out, download them, whatever you'd like to do. Check them out today. Go to the articles and media section at homeward.com.
As we conclude our time together, I want to leave you with three tips and a tool you can use to cultivate this kind of transparency in your own home. First, remember that your kids need to know that you're human. That sounds so simple, but it's important for us not to put on that perfect image, and sometimes we just simply have to say we're sorry. Perhaps the best witness as parents we can do is be real with them so that, in essence, they can learn that we're not perfect and that they're not going to be perfect. And for some of us, we just have to kind of get over ourselves, be humble and honest, and really that's the first step in being transparent with our kids. Next, remember that this generation of kids is motivated by sincerity. They don't find much of it in the media these days. In fact, most everything they see in the movies and television is supposed to be some kind of a joke. Well, that puts a bit more pressure on us as parents to show our kids what real sincerity looks like. And they're looking at us, parents, and they're watching us, parents. And so kids do not respond to people who are fake. They see enough fake stuff in the movies and the media. And so they want someone who's real, someone who's humble, and frankly, someone who's sincere. Finally, never underestimate the power of an apology, and not just the kind of apology that the world recognizes. The root of the word apology literally means to give an explanation. It's not an excuse, mind you, simply a reason for why you did what you did. Where your goal as a parent is to be an authentic person who isn't afraid to apologize when necessary. Well, like the writer of Proverbs says in one of my favorite all-time verses, Proverbs 10:9, the man or woman of integrity walks securely. And I believe that means that the children of that man and woman will also walk securely because of the integrity of their parents. Well, having said that, I want to encourage you to contact our Resource Center for a free copy of my tip sheet called Confession is Good for the Soul and the Family. It spells out those principles in greater detail, and I think it's pretty easy to get a hold of, isn't it, Roger?
It certainly is, Jim. And as we mentioned just a moment ago, the articles and media section is where you're going to go to homeward.com, HOMEWORD.com. By the way, when you find those articles, tip sheets, video clips, you can access all of that without cost or further obligation. There's no monthly subscription fee at all to access our homework materials. We make them available because of your prayers and faithful financial support. And speaking of financial support and just finances in general, Jim, one of those new resources that we have in our resource center has to deal with this area of stewardship, the S word, as we like to call it here at Homeward. Talk about these brand new resources, because I know that you're very enthusiastic about getting these in the hands of parents so they can get these principles into the lives of their kids.
Well, you're right, Roger, and I'm very excited about them. I know a lot of families have really been impacted by the challenges in this particular economy.
Yeah.
And you know what? I believe that these changes can lead to a lot of what I would call teachable moments for our kids, for our grandkids, and even for our own lives regarding stewardship and just how important it is. Stewardship is more than just an issue of how you spend your money. It involves how you invest your time, how you care for the most important relationships in your life as well. And that starts with our relationship with God.
Amen.
But it's so key to so many things about our life. And Homeward has created a brand new set of tip sheets. I'm very excited about it. The tip sheets are about money and stewardship, and they're based on a series of well-known Bible stories that should be fairly easy for your kids to understand. But they also include some very practical tips for your whole family. You can start looking at these issues like giving and saving and even investing from more of an eternal perspective. Great new tip sheets.
They certainly are, Jim. And I know one of the things that we are so grateful for is that our friends at Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment trust company, Rod Emery and his crew, they have such a dynamic ministry. I mean, they've got a tremendous business in helping people with real estate investment trusts, but they also understand the value of godly stewardship and biblical principles in this area. They have partnered with us to create these tip sheets, and we're so grateful for their involvement in that. When you, as a parent, go to homeward.com, hit the articles and media button, then you'll see a little box that comes up that says Get Answers. That's our search engine. All you have to do is type in the word steadfast, STEADFAST, and what will come up is a couple of tip sheets that you can print out. You can read them, download them, learn them. Mom and Dad, you go through them first and make sure you know them cold, and then walk your kids through them too and show them that, hey, you know what? Money, God's idea. Stewardship, God's idea, and this whole system that we use was His idea as well. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.